Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. And we're continuing now in Romans, the book of Romans, chapter 14 and verse 5. That's where we left off. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Paul continues, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, of course, like I point out occasionally, if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, you'll see my name there, and following my name, you'll see the two words that say Biblical Studies, and that's basically what this program is about. And Biblical Studies, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind that what they're doing before our Heavenly Father, you know, God Almighty, and with a clear conscience. However, what we're persuaded of in our mind, hopefully, is in conformity to the Scripture and having an understanding. It may be impossible for some people to keep the true Sabbath, because if you really search the Scripture out, contrary to what many people believe, you'll hear it from the pulpits, there'll be you'll hear a preacher preaching a Sabbath message, and of course he's referring to Sunday. Well, Sunday has never been the Sabbath, and it, you know, never will be the Sabbath. However, the Sabbath may fall on what is called a Sunday sometimes, and it does. It falls on a Sunday. Of course, the Sabbath can fall on any day of the Pope's calendar week, because it's not God's calendar. He gave us his calendar in the Scripture. He told us what it was, and actually he wrote his calendar in the heavens for us. And so we know that by thorough search of the Scripture and rightly dividing the Word, we know that the months are his months, are from the moon, and that every moon cycle is a new month. And of course, it begins with a new moon. It begins with the beginning of the cycle, and it ends with the end of the cycle. And we know that when you see the first crescent of the moon, we know that it will be the first day of the week, the first day of the work week. And we also know that the Sabbaths are on the 8th, the 15th, the 22nd, and the 29th of every month, according to the Scripture. If you truly, honestly search it out, that's what you will find if you rightly divide the Word of God. Of course, that calendar does not jibe with the calendar of Rome today. You know, I got a friend who says that whoever is in charge is in charge of the calendar. And he keeps saying that, whoever's in charge is in charge of the calendar. And you'll find that throughout history, well, that's true. You know, the Romans, they played around. They had a 10-day calendar once, 10-day week calendar. They had an 8-day week calendar. That's where you get the phrase 8 days a week. And they always had to go back to a 7-day calendar because people were getting sick and animals were dying, you know, trying to do that, you know, 8 and 10-day week. It just did not work. And so historically, you find this, if you study the calendar historically, that, you know, this silliness went on, and that finally, you know, the King of Rome, they call him the Pope, over there some centuries ago, established the Gregorian calendar that we use today. And there's that phrase that keeps popping into mind. Whoever's in charge is in charge of the calendar. So that means that the Pope was in charge. Does that mean that the Pope is still in charge because the whole world has adopted his Roman calendar? But it's still not God's calendar. Even if you go, in the year of our Lord, you know, even if you say that phrase, but then you use the Pope's calendar, it's still his calendar, but it's not our Heavenly Father's calendar. Our Heavenly Father's calendar is reckoned by rightly dividing his word, and the year is also reckoned from creation. I think it's more important to number the years back to creation than this now they call it, the common era and before the common era. I guess who's in charge of that, you know? Certainly not our God, and it's certainly not the year of our Lord, Common Era, or before the Common Era, because what they want to do is erase the idea that our Heavenly Father did create all things, you know, less than about 6,000 years ago. That's right. I believe that. The Bible tells me it's true. I have the genealogies. I think there's plenty of historical evidence to justify belief in that. Much more than there is to believe in, you know, the fantasy of evolution that some man made up in his mind. So you see how mixed up everything is, and people believe all different kinds of things, and you know, I believe the truth is just hidden from most people because they simply don't regard the truth. So one man esteemeth a day, one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. And I would be in that category. I esteemeth every day alike. Although I do love, you know, I'd love to fellowship on whatever day, if you call it Sunday. I love to fellowship, you know, any day of the week. And so I do visit, you know, a congregation at least every other week on Sunday, because it's a way to travel to the church at Kauia. But and it's too difficult for me to make it every week because of my life. I have way... I'll just put it this way instead, that the Heavenly Father keeps me very busy from sun up to sundown. He keeps me very busy. When you work for the Heavenly Father, you know, you don't have time to get into trouble. I'll put it that way. That's another way of putting it. And then I'll say hallelujah, you know, may he be praised. So we're not to judge others because one keeps Sunday or another thinks that keeps Saturday, or another keeps any day he can because of his situation or his station in life. Or for me, I'd like to do both. I'd like to keep the Sabbath according to the lunar calendar, and I like to fellowship any day of the week I can, and even if that's an occasional Sunday. It doesn't matter to me. If you show up, if some brethren show up here at the studio, well, we might just fellowship then. So I esteemeth every day alike, because to me every day is holy. Every day is to serve my God. Every day is set apart for Him, and may it be so. I hope that may it be so for all of us, no matter what we're doing. That everything we do is holy, and everything we do as unto Yahuwah. I hope that it is so with all of you. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard. He that eateth, eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto Yahuwah. Whether we live therefore, or we die, we are His, and we need to live accordingly. That we belong to Him, we do not belong to ourselves, if we've truly given our lives to Him. And we are covered by His blood. He purchased us with His blood, if we've truly given our lives to Him. So we live to Him. And Paul continues here in chapter 14 and verse 9. For unto this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. So, and of course, I believe that Paul is referring to the living, that would be us, and of course to the dead, to those who have passed on through the gay threshold of mortality into everlasting life. They've moved on to the resurrection. They preceded us. And I heard someone, a lot of people, you know, talk about soul sleep, that when you die, you don't go to heaven. And in a way, they're right. Because for us, they're asleep in the graves. For us who are in time, the resurrection hasn't happened yet. But for them, you know, they just move on to the next event. They aren't conscious of anything. They're dead bodies in the ground, of course. But they move on to the next event. There's no waiting. There's no time period. The time period is for us who are caught in time, who are trapped in time. But once we go to the grave, for those of us that are moving on to the resurrection, we move on immediately. My sister, who died in 1985, well, she immediately went to the resurrection. But guess what? I haven't died yet, and I may live another 50 years. Who knows? I certainly hope so, because you know, I want to accomplish as much work for my Heavenly Father as I can. So that means if I have to be here and suffer the joys and the sorrows and the tribulations and the triumphs of working for Him in this life for another 50 years, well, so be it. But whenever it happens that I cross that threshold, when my time period of mortality is up, this grace period is up, I will arrive in the resurrection at the same time as my sister, even though she crossed that threshold in 1985. She moved to the next event. When I die, I will move to the next event. We will get there at the same time. Because when the trump sounds, the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain, whenever that happens, could be another 100 years, could be another 200 years into the future. And then whoever's alive and remains at that time will be caught up, and we will all meet them in that heavenly realm, and we will forever be with Yahuwah, our Messiah. Paul continues, "So then every one of us shall give account of himself to Yahuwah, to God." Oh, I've skipped a verse here, so I'm going to back up. "For to this end," both verse 9 of chapter 14, "for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living." So that's what we were discussing, the dead and the living. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." And you know what? He puts that in a present tense. We continually, if we are in his kingdom, we continually stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Because if we don't continually stand before the judgment seat of Christ, then we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ in the second resurrection. And I call that the resurrection of damnation. That second, because the scripture says, "Blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection." That's the one we just discussed, where the dead in Christ will rise, and those who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them. And why don't we have to go before the judgment seat of Christ in the resurrection? Because we stand before him continually. Because he is our judge, he is our king, and we're in his kingdom. And he sees everything that we do, and we have opened up our lives to his judgment, to be judged. We've opened up everything that we do to his judgment, according to his word and his law. "But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we all stand," it doesn't say will stand, "we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everything we do, and we do it voluntarily, because that's the only way we enter his kingdom, and that's the only way that we are judged now." And another way it's put is, "To judge yourself lest you be that you be judged of no man." And how do we judge ourselves? Before the judgment seat of Christ. We stand before him. And Paul continues, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." So you bow to him now, in his kingdom, voluntarily, or you will bow before him in judgment to damnation. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by Yahshua, our Messiah, that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now he's going back to the food thing. There's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy him not with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. And it draws me back to an illustration of something that happened, and it happened many years ago when I was still doing part-time handyman carpentry type work, and I would get jobs by word of mouth because that's how I supported myself and my family, because I didn't have a corporate job. I didn't work for someone else because of the whole issue. And the Heavenly Father always provided for me. And so he did, because I had to come out of that corporate life. And he called me out of that. By conscience, I had to work as he provided work for me. And I believe me, the just shall walk by faith. And if you decide to leave off the world system, if you decide that you can't participate in their benefit system of Socialist Security, he will take care of you, because it becomes a matter of faith. Who do you trust in? Are you able to walk by faith? Can you leave it off and simply walk by faith? I know it's a huge step, because you're walking out into the unknown. You're walking out of security in the world and in the world system to a security that you haven't tested and tried yet. And that is the security of walking by faith in his kingdom. But anyway, that was the situation. Getting word of mouth work. People would pay me cash by whatever means, or they'd pay me by check and I'd cash it at their bank at that time. Not sure you can do that. You have to have I can't know about how that works now that they've changed all the banking laws, that you can't. But then you could just walk into a bank with a check and demand payment, you know, because you had the check. But now with all the know your customer rules and all that, I'm not sure how that works these days. Banking can be a challenge, but you know what? It's not a challenge that our Heavenly Father can't handle. So we can still walk by faith, knowing that he, if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that he will provide everything we need. That does take faith, does it not? So anyway, getting back to the diet issue, which is what I was going to elaborate on here, is that I was doing some work for these people, and as it so happened that I had occasion to witness to them, you know, about the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the salvation that he provides. And I had occasion to witness to them. And, of course, I had brought, you know, I'd bring a little fruit for my lunch, you know, something, just something I could hold in my hand and snack on, you know, some food that he provided. And come lunchtime, they invited me in to eat lunch with them. And, what was for lunch? Well, I couldn't refuse because they might be offended. And, of course, I'm not going to offend. And I'm not going to question, well, what's in it? And it didn't take me long to find out what was in it. They had prepared sandwiches. And, of course, the lunch was white bread and Spam. Those are two things I detest white bread. It's just worthless fluff. And it's not a part of my diet. And Spam, of course, is pig meat. You know, it's processed pig meat. And processed swine, of course, that's unclean. Right? Right, it is. But what did I do? I gave thanks for the food. And I ate it. That's right, I did. I gave thanks and I ate it because I did not offend these people. I did not want to offend their faith or give or place a stumbling block before their faith. It was more important that they receive the gospel than that they eat properly for their own health's sake. So we get back here. Then every one of us shall give a self. Let's see, let us not judge. There it is. Verse 14 of chapter 14. I know and am persuaded by Yahuwah, by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. And you know that's true. There is no created thing that is unclean of itself. Now it was unclean for the sacrifice, and it isn't clean and good for to have as a regular part of your diet. You disobey the law there, the dietary laws, and you may have to suffer the consequences of that disobedience in your own flesh. And I see that all the time. I see so many good Christian people that eat pork and don't pay any attention to their diet. They just eat all the white flour and all the bacon they want. And of course, then they suffer in their consequences in their health for those things. It doesn't take you don't need a science degree to figure it out. But those things are not unclean of themselves, and they will not keep you from salvation. So we'll pick up here when I get back from this break. You're listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website. Do email me. I would like to hear from you. Don't go anywhere.